Well, again, good morning to everybody this beautiful Lord's Day. It's good to be with you and appreciate those who took charge last week in our absence. Kind of a shock to have Brittany being taken to the hospital and come to find out while she does have COVID, she has some other medical issues that have really put her in the hospital, and she's continuing to recover. Kevin is slowly getting over his COVID in Hampton Inn. How exciting can that be to be in a hotel for a whole week and trying to get over COVID? But Lord willing, they'll be home this week, and appreciate all of the prayers. Great service last week with the reading by Bruce and her comments. What a great service. And I want to remind you that they went after 12 o'clock. I'm just saying, making an observation, nothing to be said. But, I think that's really something that we ought to do once in a while. We just get up and read some passages and just talk about what the Lord said, and what a great thing. But appreciate all those who took place last week. There have been a lot of things said about the year 2020. It began with a lot of hopes and dreams, and yet the year has given many pause to think, what was that all about? What a year it was. The thing about 2020 that everybody was kind of bouncing off the idea wall was, 2020, well, that's going to be a year of clarity, a year looking promising. And that's because the idea of 2020 means that it's good vision. That's the confidence of a clear path. And when we talk about 2020, we're talking about somebody's visual acuity and the fact that they don't have perfect vision, but it's really good vision. And it's something that it's normal for most of us, at least at one time in our lives before we put these things on or other things. And so there was a lot of discussions and a lot of PR and a lot of, January and February, people were always even, we got some lessons we're going to do. We got the vision of 2020. We got all this going on. And, well, that's kind of how that year worked out. There's a lot of years that we remember. 1776, yep, know when that was. There's still some who don't know when the War of 1812 was fought, but they'll work on that. 1929, I think you think about the Great Depression, 1945 when the war ended, and who can forget 9/11? I doubt very seriously anybody's going to forget 2020, not at least in our generation. And the problem is that while 2020 started with such promise, it didn't really wind up that way about March when things really began to change. And it was filled with a pandemic called COVID. And we began to learn terms that we had not been accustomed to before, that we wanted to use anyway, and virus and pandemic. And I thought about it again just the other day. It is so normal to see people wearing masks everywhere. I don't know whether I'm robbing Publix or buying groceries. And it just seems like a normal thing to do. It's like we just naturally put on a seatbelt. And I haven't quite got to naturality because there are times that I'm walking to the store and got to go get my mask. But that's not uncommon. We don't think it's strange anymore. And I wish I'd have thought about it. But have you seen the market for people selling masks? I mean, different shades. And there are people that have even matched clothes to masks. It's just embarrassing. It's really bad. And then we could talk about the political scene in the year of election that has probably been the most heated, contested, violent, and controversial probably in American history. I don't know. I'm not that old. We learned terms like sheltering, and we still are sheltering, and we had two last week for concerns of being with Brittany and Kevin and those things. And of course, who knows what the economy, 2020, anybody, any got any questions about that? We may have thought, and I sort of did, kind of hoped, that boy, when 2020 gets here, it's going to be back to normal. We can get everything back like it was. This is, 10 days in? And that's really not how things are panning out. There has been a lot more hope, maybe. But the calendar change and dropping the ball in an empty Times Square didn't change the reality of the world we live in. 2020 was the year we didn't see coming. 2020 was the year we saw who we were. But here we are, 2021. And I don't know if we're going to make as much discussion about 2021 as we did as 2020, but I'm sure that because of the things that we've learned in 2020, 2021 is going to become a very banner year in many ways. But here's the thing. As we make our New Year's resolutions, and as the old saying is that today, what is exercise club in February will become a donut shop. We make our resolutions and we say we're going to do some things and we're going to get excited about 2021. But the reality of it is it will bring what we take with us by the decisions that we make. And that's true every year. That was true 365 days ago. That was true 2 years ago. It's true every year. Is that what we bring into this year is what we make out of it. And that despite the surroundings and the circumstances, we choose to make this a year because that's what we want it to be. There's a lot of things we could talk about in this coming year. This is my first sermon. I was supposed to do this last Sunday, but what are we going to look at? How are we going to come to where we are now and think about where we're going to be? Now, again, we've realized that not a lot's changed. Because one of the reasons that I stopped staying up on New Year's night to see the time change is because, Lord willing, all things being equal, the sun that rose on Thursday was the same one that rose on Friday. It didn't look a whole lot different. I don't think the temperature was a whole lot different. We were in Georgia, and it was just cold. And it's below 70. I'm cold. I don't care how bad it is. So it didn't change a whole lot. But what are we going to do about it? I want to share with you maybe some things that we can look to in this year in our relationship and make this the kind of year that it needs to be, which is every day. That my faith is going to be determined by what I can accomplish in God. And that's how we're supposed to look at 2020. And I hope that if there's anything that we've learned about 2020, that's what we've learned maybe at a better reason than anything else, is that when we look at 2020, we think, wow, we survived that year, and what is that all about? Really, the question is, how am I doing with God? It's not about the other things, not about the disease, not about the COVID, not about the pandemic, not about the nationality of the politics, not about the finance, and not about the economy. Ultimately, what I'm asking is, where am I at today with my relationship with God? And how do I understand where God is in all these things? Because again, it's been a year of upheaval. I mean, there's been a lot of things been going on, but no matter what happens, we need to remember one thing very clear and very immediate, and the fact that God is still in charge, folks. That hasn't changed. That doesn't change by calendar change. And then lastly, the fact of the matter is that no matter whether it's a year change, a month change, or a daily change, we cannot live by driving in a rearview mirror. We've got to live for today. We've got to look for what's coming up tomorrow. And we need to realize that I need to change my life. If there are changes that have got to come in my life, it's me. I can't blame anybody for that. I can't say it's the economy. I can't think it's COVID. I can't think it's the President of the United States. I can't believe that, whatever it is going on in the world. It's about me. It's about me. One of the interesting passages in the Scriptures, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles is a book that has a lot of genealogies. Genealogies are where Bible readings go to die. Because you begin reading and thinking, who are these people and what are they all about? Although there are some fun things, because if you're ever planning on having a child again, there are some great names in these genealogies that you could consider naming your children. One of my most favorite characters of the Bible that I know nothing about, but she's one of my favorite people, is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Because this gal's name is just a fascinating name here, and her name is in verse 3, Hazel Pony. I tell you, if I had another child, she was going to be called Hazel Pony. That is a great name. Don't you want to name somebody Hazel Pony? That's great. But all these names, and so I know what you do. You do what I do. We get to the genealogies, and it's like, okay, who begat beget? And you just skip over that section. You just keep on going. Unfortunately, when you do that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you miss a really, really great lesson. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's read verse 9 and 10. And that's on page 461 if you have a pew Bible there with you. And we can read along. Just two short verses. It's a great sermon. You've heard about it. It says in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez. saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And so God granted him what he requested. There's been a lot of things written about Jabez's prayer. It's interesting that it's found, for whatever reason, in the midst of all this genealogy, but he's there. And we really know nothing about him other than what we have right here. He's not found anywhere else, referenced, or anything. These two verses are where he is found. But this is a powerful prayer. It's a prayer about a man whose life is rather a conflict. It says that he was more honorable than his brothers. Don't know exactly what that means, except for the fact that he has received more honors. Now, it didn't say that he was better looking than his brothers. It didn't say that he was smarter than his brothers. It doesn't say that he was taller than his brother or a better basketball player. It doesn't say that. It just says that he was a man who had more honor than his brothers. And so you kind of wonder what that's all about. What is it? But he's a man of distinction. But while that is something of credit, his name reflects something that really is not so pleasant. Can you imagine being known as the man who walks around all the time and they say, hey, there's the guy who caused his mother pain? I thought that was Kent, actually, but that was, you know. Jabez means that, I bore him in pain. Now, again, we don't know. We don't know why she would name him that, because obviously childbirth is in pain. And I guess to some degree we could say that all of us should have the name Jabez, because that's the curse that is put with the woman from the garden. And so it's just kind of a curiosity. We don't know the circumstances. But I think what's interesting about this is that while he has that name that is stuck with him, he is overcoming that. I mean, I don't think I'd want to have a name like that, but he has a name that is akin to pain, and yet he is somebody who has risen above that, and he's a man of faith, I believe, because of his incredible prayer. And there's just a few things that he asks about in this prayer. You see in verse 10 that he's calling on the God of Israel, and there's a lot of things we need to pray for. We need to pray for our soldiers. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the sick. We need to pray for the church. And we need to pray for a lot of different kind of people. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our grandchildren and our wives and our spouses. We need to pray all about those people. But you know who we seldom pray a lot about? Me. And we should. Because me has more problems than the other people do. And so we need to realize what he begins by saying to God is, bless me indeed. Why? Because he needs blessings. He recognized that there are some things that he wasn't neglecting others, and he wasn't suggesting that we don't pray for other people. That's clearly shown. But Jabez realized that, you know, Lord, I need some help here. I need you to really bless me indeed. Now, that comes with responsibility, because he's not simply saying to God, bless me, and that's all it's going to be. We're going to see that in a moment. But Jabez realizes that, you know, I need help. And I need guidance. And he says, I want you to bless me with these things. And the second part of his prayer suggests why he is asking about this blessing, that he says that I want you to bless me indeed. Because he says, I want you to enlarge my territory. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that. I don't think he's actually asking, could you give me 10 more acres? I got 40, but I'd like 10 more. He's not really asking about that. He's not asking about geography. He's not asking about more grass to mow. What he is really saying is, because of his blessing received from God, is he is saying that, Lord, I need more work to do. I want you to give me something else to do here. When's the last time you went up to your boss and said, hey, I need more work to do? Nobody in their right mind was going to do that, because you know what he's, oh yeah, I'll give you some work. I mean, I learned early on, kind of in marriage, but I learned early on with mom, you don't walk in the house and say to my mother, I'm bored. That is a fatal mistake. And yet, Jabez is saying to God, hey, you know, give me more opportunities. I wanted to enlarge my horizon. What he had in mind exactly, we don't know, but you looked at what his life view was that I want God to bless me. And when God blesses me, man, I want to take this and I'm going to do some things with it. You see, here's a very positive, motivated kind of a person that he is saying that even though his name means pain, he is saying that I want God to bless me and I want to go do some things with what I've got. I'm going to go and make some changes in the world and to give these opportunities because he's knowing that there are things that have to be done and he wants to do that. And part of that has to do with the fact that we find in the latter part of verse 10, I think that there's a connect when he says that I may not cause pain. And there's a bookend here from verse 9 and 10 when we realize that his name means because I bore him in pain. And then he says at the end of it, so that I don't cause pain. Do you see what he's trying to do here? He wants to be a blessing to people. He wants God to bless him, but he wants to be a blessing to people. He's putting himself out there. He is opening himself up and saying, I want to be a blessing. Lord, give me those opportunities. Give me that horizon that I can work for and that I can engage in because that's how he's wanting to live his life. And by doing that, the third thing is, he realized to accomplish that, he needed the blessing of God. Notice the language that he uses. After he asked for blessings and after he asked for the enlarging of his territory, he says this about God, that your hand would be with me. Now, if you come back tonight, I'm going to talk about the hand of God. That's our lesson tonight. The hand of God. It's an incredible thing, the hand of God. But he is asking for God, I want your hand to be with me. He wanted the hand of God to watch over him. He wanted the hand of God to protect him. He wanted the hand of God to guide him. Because he realized responsibility. Listen, if you're going to bless me and enlarge my territory, I want you to be my guiding force. He wasn't doing it for himself. Jabez wasn't trying to get the glory of men saying, hey, I want to be important to men. He was doing everything for the glory of God. And that's a powerful request. Because, you know, you're putting yourself out there. When you go to God and you say, okay, here's the gimme part. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. But I want you to be the central theme. I want you to be the central part of my life. And we've got to see that in order to get these blessings, he realized that God needed to be the center of his life and that God needed to be the focus of his life. He believed his life would not be full without the guidance of God. Let your hand be with it. And here's the other reason, number four. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, and let your hand be with me. You know why he wanted God also, not only because of the blessings? Because in the fourth one, he says, that you will keep me from evil. Because he knew there was evil out there. He knew that if there was anybody who was going to keep him from evil, he sought the protection of God. He needed the overshadowing of God from evil because he didn't want his life to be a reflection of hypocrisy or evil of anything like that. He said, I want to do things for you, God. I want to serve you, God. I want opportunities and I'm going to do whatever I can. I want your hand to be with me and I want you to keep me from evil and I want you to protect me from all of those things because I want to give my life to the glory of your cause. And his life was the devotion of God. He did not want to compromise his life with evil. And he said, I want that. Lord, just keep that out of my life because I'm just going to serve you and serve you alone. I tell you, upon these four points alone, what a year it would be. I mean, we could just stop there and say, okay, here's the lesson for this morning is the fact that if you want to have a resolution to live by, 4 points, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me and keep me from evil. There you go, that's what it is. I'm not kidding, I've still got my resolutions from 1985. In my box, somewhere, and I don't know where it's at, but it's packed away. And it's kind of, I look at that sometimes and I think, I'm still trying to figure those things out. And it's a long list. These four things should be our prayer. Because when we look at no matter where we are in our lives and no matter what 2020 has done to us and no matter where we are in these things and how we look at 2021, we need to go to God and say, Lord, here's number one. Lord, bless me indeed. There's a lot of things that we need in our lives and we need to do a little inventory of our lives and think about what do I need in my life? Where do we need to be? Where am I at on the scale of things? Because I want to suggest something to you. If I am at the same place that I was 365 years ago, I am in deep trouble. Because if I have not grown, if I have not done any different from last year, what am I doing? Because that's probably going to be the case of 2019 and 2018 and 2017. You see, the thing that Jabez is telling us, we've got to come into life and say that I want the blessings of God upon me. Because there are many things that we must pray for. There are many things we need to pray for. But when's the last time that we sat down and had a conversation with God and said, okay, I'm not going to pray for anybody else but me today, Lord. And I got a list. And at the top of the list is number one, I am a train wreck. Number two, help. Because there's nothing after number two. I mean, we have a lot of things that we need to pray about. We need to pray about our needs and talk to God about how we did in 2020. We may not have done very well in 2020. We may have had our faith shaken. We may have thought, boy, I don't know where I'm at on this thing. We may be sitting at home thinking that, you know, this has been a tough year. It can be a lot tougher. We've got to make our prayers personal. And that's what Jabez was asking. But then the second thing that he asked is that, you know, I want you to enlarge my borders. He didn't go back and say what was going on the year before. He realized that there were mistakes made, but there were opportunities lost. Move on and ask God for more work to do. Go and ask God, I need some other things that you can do for me. Open some doors. Make me busier in the kingdom of God. Have we used 2020 to be busier in the kingdom of God, or have we just shut down? You can shut a nation down. You can shut an economy down. But we shouldn't be shutting the kingdom of God down because it doesn't close. My life in the service of God should not come to an end. Ask God for more work to do. Have the courage to do it. But then thirdly, we've got to seek the hand of God in my life. Faith still comes from hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That doesn't change. Faith still comes from the Word of God. And asking God to bless you is that you've got to know if you're not people of the book is not in you, then you're not going to do a lot of good things this year. The reason that we fail in our resolutions is because we haven't got the Word in our lives. And if we're not praying and talking to God, well, no figure. You know, we're not going to grow because that's what Jabez is asking. I want you to put your hand upon me. I want you to be there. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to look in my life and say that I don't know where I've been before, but I'm going to be what God wants me to be. 2020 changed the landscape of the world, but it didn't take away the responsibility to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week and to pray and to study the Bible and to be engaged in evangelism and knowing who God is. That didn't end. We've got to realize that I've got to let the hand of God be in my life. And then fourth, I've got to get rid of the things that have hindered my growth as a Christian. That's what Jabez is asking, is you keep me from the evil one. Just keep that away from me. I've got to say this year, I'm going to get rid of those things that have hindered my growth as a child of God. And so there's a simple prayer, just four things. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Your hand will be with me. Keep me from evil. There's a great lesson by itself. But two more things real quick. Because I think it's important to kind of connect with this past year. If there's anything that we should have learned in 2020 is that the kingdoms of the world are not ruled by the men. There are many great passages. One that I'm going to use this morning is in the book of Jeremiah in the 18th chapter. This is on page 891. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 7, this is what the Lord reminds us. This is the will of God. This is where God is. This is God speaking. The word of the Lord. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I have thought to bring upon it. And the instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. You know, one of the things that we learn immediately here is that the law of Moses has been done away with, but God's will in the nations has not. And God has always said, I will raise up nations and I will bring them down. He destroyed the world one time. The whole world except for 8 people. And then after that, the Tower of Babel and the nations were formed. But I'm going to tell you, God is still in control. God still rules in the affairs of man. And God says, if I want to raise up a nation, I'll do it. And if I want to bring it down, I will do it. Men cannot do that. I wrote an article this past week about the fact that man cannot destroy this earth. I mean, that is a fact. We get on, I'm not getting off subject here. It's just the fact that we think that we have the ability to do whatever we want in this world. That is utter nonsense. You can't destroy this world if you wanted to. You cannot raise up a nation that is going to dominate the world. God will not allow it. When a nation rises, it's because it is God's will. When a nation falls, it is because it is God's will. That is a fact. It has been a fact since Adam. And yet we think that, you know, not that there's, you know, interest or concern about political matters, but let me tell you something. I'm not worried about the political scene of what it is, because when it happens and it's God's will. You know what my responsibility is? Paul explained that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We are to be subject to the governing authorities. Why? Because Paul, and remember that Paul is writing during the Roman Empire. Let me just say aside here, if you think that you got it bad in the United States of America, you ought to be living in the Roman Empire in the days of the Apostle Paul. Different kind of a world. What does Paul say in that kind of an environment? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And if you resist the authority, you resist the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. What is he saying? You know, we have a beautiful right to do whatever we want in the politically democratic, whatever kind of republic we call this thing. But at the end of the day, I'm a child of God. And God rules. And God's in charge. And our response to this as people of God is the fact that I serve a higher purpose. And I serve a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who is above all of these. To which Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 13. And by the way, put it into the time frame of history. Peter is writing during the days of Caesar Nero. Zero Nero. What does Peter say about Nero? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. But this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, here it is verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Why? Because God's in control. And I'm glad of that. Because I'm thankful that God is in control, because it helps me sleep a lot better. And then finally, the hardest part of 2021 is what to do with 2020. And we find that quickly in Paul's admonition to the church and the saints at Philippi. And what a great passage and what a great letter this is, as he's writing this epistle of joy, and he's talking about the things that brought joy to his life. And why was the Apostle Paul, with all the things that he went through, why did he have such joy in his life? Well, it wasn't because he was always joyous. It's because of his vision of life, because of who he was and what he was. Not that I've already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Isn't this fitting for our time? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let's be of the same mind. Boy, Paul had so much to forget. Paul had so much in his past. But he says, it's gone. I'm going to press forward. Let me tell you, when you drive home today, if you're driving, do not use the rear view mirror to drive. You will hurt yourself.
We only use that as a temporary moment to see what we've gone beyond. But you don't drive using a rearview mirror, and yet we do so in life. We are consumed. Paul says, I have forgot those things which are behind. I am reaching forward. We have got to cut it down and forget it. Because you can't change it and I can't either. Forget the past. Press forward. Why? Because ultimately this is what it's all about in verse 20. This world is not my home. That's the song we sing. My citizenship is in heaven, folks. I mean, the closer I get to it, the more I'm aware of it. But, you know, I'm eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's going to give me something better than this life. It's going to transform my lowly body to be conformed into His glorious body according to the working by which He is able to even to subdue all things to Himself. We suffered loss this past year. But yet in the loss there was glory. And we may this year suffer loss. It may be me. Maybe you. I don't know. But ultimately, life is not about the here and now. Life is about the citizenship that we have. And the best part of a new year is the new time that we can say, I'm going to look for God's glory. And I'm going to be like Jabez. And I'm going to live my life seeking for blessings and trying to do what God wants me to do so that I can go and be with Him one day. Because this is not what it's all about. Whatever goes on in 2021, this is not what it's all about. And if God grants us 22, fine, that's okay. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I don't live in the past. I live in what's coming. I mean, there was a lot of things that were great about this past year. But I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer says, is that we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This world has not changed the mission of what the kingdom of God is all about. This world has not changed my work as an individual, as a saint of God, to serve Him. And I need to have that faith in God that would be determined by what I want to accomplish with God. Because what I accomplish this year in God is going to depend upon what I want to accomplish in God this year. It's up to me. I've got to make that difference. And there's a lot of things. So no matter what happens in the world, I've got to know and believe God is in control. And I'm going to tell you, He's a lot smarter than you and me. You come back tonight and let me tell you how big His hand is. And there's nothing to worry about with God in control. And I'm going to go forward by viewing life with God's vision for me. So what do we do? Well, I think that if there's any book that maybe have a lot of message that kind of resonates with what we've been going through. The book of Hebrews is it. As we bring our lesson to a close, it's just thinking about what these folks were going through and the observation that Paul makes about the saints and what they were living through. And the thing about 2020 was it was supposed to be a year of vision. Well, we had to wear glasses to get through that. But our life is about what we see and how we view things. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, Paul says that they all died in faith. They didn't receive the promise. Notice the language. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. This year, we've got to live with the idea that we are desiring a better country. We're desiring something better in ourselves. We're desiring something better in the work that we do with the congregation, in the community that we live in, and the service that we give for God. We're going to desire something better because we're desiring that heavenly country. And that way, when 2021 finishes, God is not going to be ashamed to call us His children, because He's going to say, look at my brethren down there. Look at my children down there. They haven't given up on me. They haven't denied me. And so, what's going to be your answer? What are you going to do with 2021? The best thing you can do with 2021 is what happened 2,000 years ago when people asked Peter, what do we do?
And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what you need to do. That's what life's about. It's not about here. It's about where you're going to be when you meet God. And that's a promise that's been given for 2,000 years that you can heed this morning if you're not a Christian. Yeah, being a child of God. Have the faith of Jabez. Trust in the will of God. Press forward. What will your answer be? Let's stand as we sing.